So tonight we're going to conclude the chapter that we started 2 years ago, chapter number 10, Surat Yunus. Yunus is Jonah. His name is Jonah in the Bible. So we started his chapter, which is chapter number 10, 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago. And tonight we're going to conclude this chapter, which has 109 verses. So tonight we're going to go through the last three verses, 107, 109, and 107, 108, and 109. And inshallah, after Ramadan, we will choose another chapter. But in Ramadan, in the month of Ramadan, the holy month of Ramadan, which is going to be, by the way, Saturday, not tomorrow, not Friday. If you want to fast tomorrow, then your intention has to be the last day of Sha'ban, but not the first day of Ramadan. The first day of Ramadan is Saturday, inshallah ta'ala. You begin the fast and then make sure that you get the timetable for fasting. We have it outside. If not, you can download it from the website. We have it. We have enough copies outside. And inshallah, Ramadan is a month of blessings and good fortune, and month of revival, spiritual, social revival and energy for all of us. Yes, it is. We lose some physical energy, but we gain spiritual energy, inshallah, in the month of Ramadan. Though some people do not even lose physical energy, they eat twice as much, alhamdulillah. But, you know, so even if you lose some pounds, you're going to gain many, many moral, ethical, spiritual values, inshallah, during this month. So prepare yourself psychologically, prepare yourself to receive this month with love. With love, good reception. Say welcome to the month. Tonight when you go home and tomorrow evening when you see the new moon, say welcome the month of Ramadan and receive it with intention of going back to our Lord. So let's begin Surat, the last three verses of Surat Yunus alayhi salam. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى خاتمهم وسيدهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المقصومين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وَإِنْ يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ وَإِنْ يُرِدْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ يصيب به من يشاء من عباده وهو الغفور الرحيم. قل يا أيها الناس قد جاءكم الحق من ربكم فمن اهتدى فإنما يهتدي لنفسه ومن ضل فإنما يضل عليها وما أنا عليكم بوكيل. واتبع ما يوحى إليك واصبر حتى يحكم الله وهو خير الحاكمين. صدق الله العلي العظيم. يمسسك الله بضر فلا كاشف له إلا هو. If God should touch you with affliction, with trials and tribulations, none can remove this affliction from you save He. And if He desires, وَإِنْ يُرِدْكَ بِخَيْرٍ, يُرِدْكَ means desires. If He desires some good for you, none can hold back His bounties from you. يُصِيبُ بِهِ فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ يُصِيبُ بِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. What does that mean? If God touches you with adversity, affliction, does He do that? And why does He do that? Why He touches some people with affliction and others He desires goodness for them? We have to understand this within the context of monotheism, Tawheed, my friends. Monotheism is the backbone of our religion. 99% of our religion is about monotheism, the concept of Tawheed. Tawheed means the recognition of God. Recognition of God. Ma'rifatullah. And this concept is very deep. But I make it very simple. I simplify the concept of monotheism. I can't cover it in one session. We need many sessions. But allow me to say that Tawheed and monotheism, the unity of God, has several branches and chapters. One of them is called, one of these branches, branch number three, is called Tawheed al-Af'al or At-Tawheed al-Af'ali, meaning the unity of the deeds. What does unity of deeds mean? It means every deed, every action, every motion, every movement in this universe is attributed to whom? To God. How is that? How is every motion, every action is attributed to Him? Even the bad ones? Yes, even the bad ones. But don't panic. Let me explain to you. The only force and power in this universe that is independent and influential is the power of God. All other physical, material powers in this universe are dependent on God. So God is the operator, the generator, the source of every motion in this universe. Please listen to me. This is very complicated subject, sophisticated, but I'm simplifying it. So God is behind every motion in this universe. He's the generator. He's the one who provides energy and power to everything from galaxies to insects to the atom. The generator and the giver, the donor, the attributor of this energy, whatever it is, whether it's huge or small, is God. However, the choice made regarding this energy, whether to use it, to utilize this energy for goodness or evil, whose choice is this? Is our choice. Are you with me? So even when someone murders, God has given him this power to murder. But God did not tell him, I want you to murder. God said, I gave you this energy and this power to build, to save, not to kill. He made the wrong choice. God leaves the choice for us. He does not dictate. Yes, He wants us to do good. He wants us to utilize these energies to build, to construct, to save. not to destroy. But it's up to us. At the same time, he says, listen, this is your choice. I'm not going to interfere in your choice. I'm not going. I show you the way. I teach you. I encourage you. I urge you. But I'm not going to force you. This is your choice. So this is the meaning of Tawheed. Tawheed al-Af'al. Af'al means actions. Actions. God is the generator of every action. However, we have the choice whether we use this power, this energy that we have, this force that we have in doing good or doing bad. It's up to us. That's the meaning of God is the omnipotent. He is the only influential force in this universe. We all are his subordinates and dependent. Every energy in this universe. I am raising my hand now. This motion, I get the energy from God. If he wants to cripple me, he would be able to cripple me and stop me and knocks me down. He can do that. I get the energy from him. But however, I use this motion either to build, to teach, or to crush someone, to slap someone on his face. The choice is mine. But I'm responsible for that choice. Don't think it's, you know, I can do whatever I want and I can get away with it. No, you can't get away with it. Everything you do has a price tag. There's a price tag. We don't see it. These objects, these products, you know, it has a price tag here. They scan it, they show the price tag. But these ethical, moral, spiritual, or unethical actions also have price. Either the price is reward or punishment. We don't see the price written on it, but we see it in the future, in our life. We do see it. So God is behind every motion. Now, let me ask you, who is responsible for death? Who takes the life or the lives away from people? I'm asking you. God. But then the Quran says we have an angel of death. So who's taking the life? God or the angel of death? Huh? So what, if God is taking the life, then what's the job of the angel of death? Exactly. He works for God. God delegates the job to him. This is God's responsibility. But God says, I want you to take over this with my permission. With my permission, not without my permission. I am the master. I am the boss. So if you take the life of someone, it's with my permission. You work under me. You work for me. This is one example. So you cannot say, whoa, don't say angel of death. He cannot. No. He takes the life, but with God's permission. So it would not hurt the sovereignty of God. God is still the sovereign. This is one example. Another example. Who knows ilmul ghayb? Ilmul ghayb means the unseen, what will happen in the future. Who knows that knowledge? God. And God says in the Quran, قُلْ, O Prophet Muhammad, say to your community, قُلْ لَا يَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Say to your community, the knowledge of the unseen, nobody knows about it except God. But sometimes God gives this power, the ability to know what will happen in the future to some individuals. He says this in the Quran. He says in the Quran, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُطْلِعَكُمْ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ. God is not going to let you know what will happen to you in the future. He's not going to. He's not going to let you know about the unseen. However, sometimes he chooses some of his servants and he shows them what will happen in the future. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَجْتَبِي مِنْ رُسُلِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. But God sometimes, for certain reasons, he will choose certain of his servants and messengers and he will show them the unseen so they know what will happen. So the privilege of knowing the unseen belongs solely to God. But does He give this privilege sometimes to certain humans? Yes, He does. This is His discretion. It's like I own my house. I own it, but sometimes I give the keys to you to use my house. I own my car. Belongs to me. Belongs to me. But sometimes I give my car to someone. I tell him, these are the keys. Use my car. Though it is mine, but I give you permission to use it. God does the same. So if someone comes to you and he says, oh, Shia believe that their imams, they know the unseen, and this is heresy, tell him, no, this is not heresy. This is Quran. This is Quran. Show him where it is in the Quran. Tell him, God says, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَجْتَبِي مِنْ رُسُلِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. When it comes to the unseen, sometimes وَلَكِن. وَلَكِن means but. Nevertheless. Nevertheless. God selects among His servants whoever He likes to show them the unseen. So they know about the unseen, if God wants to. But if He doesn't, impossible for them to know. Why we don't know about our death? He doesn't tell us. Why? Because if God tells you about the date of your death, you are not going to sleep tonight, neither tomorrow nor after tomorrow until you die. You're going to be worried. So He doesn't tell you about that. He says, I'll make it a surprise for you. Because you will keep thinking, oh, I have another 15 years, 5 years, 1 year. You're going to be sad. So He says, it's best that you don't know. So you can relax. Relax and work. The only thing I ask you to do is to work. Work harder and harder. So you'll be successful. Okay? I said today there was a funeral, Newport Beach. I said in that funeral that I read the last notes of Steve Jobs. Who doesn't know Steve Jobs? Raise your hand. Okay? Steve Jobs. Okay? We all use his products. His products. Okay? He was saying, when he was on deathbed, he was saying that my company today is the biggest and the largest, $700 billion worth, this company. But he said, this money does not help me now. Now that I am on deathbed, this money does not help me anymore. He says, even if you are the richest person and you have billions of dollars, a time would come that your money would not help you. He gives this example. He says, you can hire a driver to drive your car for you, and you sit there and relax. But you cannot hire someone with your money, though you are very rich, to carry the pain and the suffering that you have in your body. You cannot say to someone, listen, I give you $10 million, just take the pain away from me, put it in your body. Can you do this? You can't. You can't transfer your pain to someone else. He can't, even if you are the richest person. So this means that money is not everything. Some people say, if I have money, I can do everything, anything. You are not right. Certain things money cannot help you. So what would help you? Your good relationships with people. That would help you. He says, the best memory I'm going to take with me. He said, all this wealth, I'm not going to take it with me to the grave. I'm not. I'm going to leave it behind. But I can take one thing with me. The good deeds and the good relationships that I had with people. They will benefit me. And this is a Quranic concept. He's speaking, he's translating the Quran for us. Allah says in the Quran, in the Holy Quran, يَوْمًا. On a day, which is the day of judgment, which is the moment of death. لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. Your wealth, your incorporations, your properties, You worked 50 years running. You don't even have time for your family, for your children, for your friends. You don't go to any function. Why? Because I'm working. Then you're going to leave all these things, believe me. Someone else is going to come and enjoy your wealth, who never worked, who was very lazy, okay, is going to inherit these funds. All the money is going to be gone to someone else. And you go empty-handed to your God. You say, God, I was busy collecting the money. Don't do this to yourself. Don't abuse yourself. Work is very good. Job is very good. We need the job. We need the money. But to a certain limit. Because too much money sometimes goes against yourself. Takes you away. I know many of you today, if you had more money, you wouldn't have come to the mosque, believe me. You would have been busy how to increase my money, how to make 1 million, 2 million, how to make the 5 million, 10 million, how to make the 100 million, 200 million. You would not even have time to spend with your kids. Sometimes I say, I am enjoying the best life more than any other millionaire in this universe. I always say, God, give me what I need. What I need at the time that I need. Do not let me ask people for help. Only let me ask you. But above what I need, don't give me. I don't need it. Because it's going to go against me. I'm not going even to have time to spend some hours with God. You know, some people don't pray. Why don't pray? Because I'm running from this meeting into that meeting, from this, you know, trip into that one. They don't have time for themselves. And at the end, they're going to leave this money behind. They're going to leave it behind. God says, use this money to build yourself and build others. Help yourself. You have extra money, there are people who are waiting. People who are poor. People who don't have money to pay rent. People don't have money to go to the grocery shop. Help them out. These are the assets that are going to remain. يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. So the Quran says, if God decides to touch you with adversity, no one can stop him because he is the supreme power in this universe. فلا كاشف له. وَإِنْ يُرِدْكَ بِخَيْرٍ. And if God decides to make you a king, make you rich, make you successful, again, no one can stop him from that. فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ يُصِيبُ بِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. With his goodness, he can give and bestow on whomever he likes among his creation. مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. And ultimately God is the most forgiving, the most merciful. Then we come to 108. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ. O Prophet, say to your community, O mankind. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ means mankind, not just Muslims. Mankind. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ قَدْ جَاءَكُمُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. The truth had arrived and come to you from your Lord. What does that mean? Did you receive a book from God coming by mail to you? It says from God, the Almighty God, to Haj Muhammad Hassan Fulan. You didn't. Nobody received this letter. So how did he send the truth to us? Huh? First of all, you have something, I don't know whether it's on this side or that side. I have to check tonight. It's called the brain. Or at the back, you know. Or maybe you don't find. You search for it and you don't find it. It's empty. It's called the brain. And the job of this brain is to recognize and distinguish the good from the bad. The truth from falsehood. That's the job of the brain. Now, if the brain does not distinguish, it means the brain has a problem. there's something wrong with it. It means we are feeding the brain with the wrong, with the junk food, not with the right food. It means the brain is intoxicated with something called dunya and materialism, an attachment to this dunya. Attachment. Some people are attached to wealth. Some people are attached to sport, obsessed with the sport. Some people are attached to food. Some people are attached to innama dunya lahwun wa la'ib. God says this dunya, it's all about games, entertainment, fun, and enjoyment. Some people are attached to their job, to their work. He's workaholic, obsessed. Okay? This is also a bad attachment. Some people are attached to their books. Someone told me that my husband, even when he comes back home, he's always reading. He's always with his book. He never spends time with me. This is also wrong. The book is very good, any book, but not at the expense of your wife and her rights. She has rights upon you. Put the book down. You are not going to increase your knowledge in this half hour or 2 hours. Put the book down. Because not any ilm is healthy, not any knowledge is healthy. Sometimes extra knowledge is unhealthy. The knowledge that is healthy, the one that makes you respect people's rights, your wife's right, your husband's right, your son's right, your neighbor's right, that is the good knowledge. Some people read and read and read and learn, but we don't see it reflected in their life. They get even worse. The hadith says, "Al-ilmu huwa al-hijab al-akbar." Sometimes knowledge itself, which is supposed to be that source of light and guidance and salvation, it becomes the source of damnation. It cuts you off from God. Ilm, imagine, ilm, knowledge, not ignorance. Why? Because it's the wrong one. Or it is used wrongly. Like the medicine. Medicine, if you use it correctly, it's going to cure you. But if the doctor tells you 1 teaspoon, but you don't do 1 teaspoon, you take 10 teaspoons, what will happen to you? The same medicine is going to ruin your health. So the problem is not with the medicine, the problem is with you, the way you use medicine. Sometimes people use ilm and knowledge in the wrong way, not in the good way, not in the right way. قَدْ جَاءَكُمُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. So, God sends messages to us, but not in the mail. He says, your brain, use your brain. Use it. God sends these messages. These are messages, letters from God to us, these books. But we tend to ignore them. We don't study them. Now it's the month of Ramadan. Ramadan is arriving on Saturday. At least you have to recite 1 chapter of this book. One section, juz. This book has 30 sections. 30 juz, 30 sections. One section takes only 20 minutes, believe me. 20 minutes. Watch? No, not even for me. If you can't read the book in Arabic, read it in Farsi. Read it in English. Read it. Some people ask me, I don't understand Arabic. Okay, you understand the English translation, Farsi, Urdu, French, Spanish. Read it in the language you understand it. This book is to be reflected upon, not just read. Not just read. Some people read it, but they don't understand it. What's the point? Read it so you can get it, you can understand it. So if English is easier, read it in English, no problem. You get the thawab, you get the reward. God knows about your heart, your intention. God knows that you need to read this book to learn it, not just to read it for the sake of reading and memorization. Some people memorize the book, but still this book is not helping them. Believe me, scores of memorizers we have, huffaz. This book is not helping them. They don't learn it, they just memorize it. This book has to be kept in the heart. In the heart. نَزَلَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ. God says to Prophet Muhammad, we sent this book onto your heart. نزل على قلبك لتكون من المنذرين بلسان عربي مبين. So God sent us the truth. He showed us the way. And then he left us with the choice. إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلَ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. Now some people, let me conclude with this. Some people say, I'm praying, I'm going to the mosque, I'm fasting, I'm, you know, doing this, but there is no success in my life, no change in my life. What is the answer? They say in the past, I didn't pray, I didn't fast, I didn't go to the mosque, I did not read the Quran, I did not practice religion. Now that I'm doing all these things, I don't see the change in my life, no success. Two answers. Answer number one, what do you mean by success? If you mean by success material achievements, no. God never said, never promised that if you read this book, the following day you're going to make $1 million. Or if you pray and go to the mosque in Ramadan, at the end, you're going to win the lottery. He never said that, believe me. And if that was true, I would be the first one to win the lottery. 20 times, but I didn't, okay? God never made this a promise to his prophets. Look at his messengers and the prophets. He never said to them, if you work, if you worship me, you're going to be a millionaire. Never. God said no. Don't measure success with the amount of the money you make. You are making the wrong assumption and the wrong measurement. God says, you will be more powerful in your life. You will be more assertive. You will be more confident. You will get close to me. So if something happens to you, something, a loss takes place in your life, you are not going to lose yourself. You are going to remain strong. The job of the faith is not to make me richer. Financially, it makes me richer spiritually. So even if I miss something material, I don't care about it. I don't lose my dignity and my honor. I don't take away my life. No. I say I have God in my life. I'm just like millions and millions of people who are living on this earth. It makes me more aware that I'm a guest in this life. I am here for a number of years and then I leave. I'm not here to stay. That's the job of religion. Okay? This is number one. Number two, answering the question, why I started praying but I don't see any change in my business. Because God says, this life is the life of struggle and test, imtihan, ikhtibar. And when you test someone or something, they go through lots of tribulations. So you have to work hard. So you can get successful. Now it's the season of graduations. High schools, college states, next month, June, it will be UC system. Thousands and thousands of students are graduating. They worked hard, 5 years, some of them 6 years. They worked very, very, very hard. Now they see the fruit of their work. They see it now, at that moment. It's the same with us. We have to work 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. Work for the hereafter, then you will see the fruit. Nothing comes for free. You have to struggle. God says you would never make it to paradise unless you struggle in this life. God says you assume that you make it to Jannah, to paradise, while you have a very nice journey here, free of problems. That would not happen. I have to put you to tough and difficult tests in this life. Am hasibtum an tadkhulul Jannah? You think, hasibtum? You assume that we take you to paradise while your journey here is smooth, no trials and tribulations, no loss? No. You have to go through these things. And then you graduate. I was listening to a lady who graduated with honor last week. And she said, now you are sitting here and celebrating. You see the end of the story. You don't see how much in these 5 years, how much we suffered, how much we went through. We went through many difficult moments in our life. We had anxiety attack. We had depression. We had to starve. We were lonely. We got sick. Nobody knew about that. You are sitting now and seeing us happy, smiling. You think this is graduation. No. No. We worked very hard for 5 years. God says you have to work very hard. Then you graduate. So don't tell me I became religious, but still I get sick. All the prophets, they got sick. Show me one prophet who did not get sick. Show me one of them. All the prophets were tortured. All the prophets were bleeding. All the prophets were hungry. All the prophets were lonely. All of them were abandoned by their communities. Show me one prophet who had a smooth journey. And the most difficult journey that any human being endured was the journey of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. During his life, he was abused, and after his life, his daughter and his family was abused. His loved ones were abused after his death. So, that's what it takes, my friends. فَمَنْ اِحْتَدَى فَإِنَّمَا يَحْتَدِي لِنَفْسِهِ. If you move forward, if you get guided and respond to guidance, to the invitation of God, you are doing that to your own benefit. يَحْتَدِي لِنَفْسِهِ. وَمَنْ ضَلَّ, whoever wants to be misguided, فَإِنَّمَا يَظِلُّ عَلَيْهَا. He is doing that to the loss of his own self. If you get misguided, you lose, believe me, not someone else. If you get guided, you benefit yourself, not someone else. وَمَا أَنَا عَلَيْكُمْ بِوَكِيلٍ. The Prophet says to his community, my community, I'm not a controller over you. I just guide. I just guide you. I don't use force against you. I don't compel you to do something. I don't force you to worship God. I am just a reminder. وَمَا أَنَا عَلَيْكُمْ بِوَكِيلٍ. I don't come to your homes and tell you, hey, you didn't pray, you didn't fast, you didn't pay charity, you didn't do this. I'm not going to do that. I'll just remind you and I leave the rest with you. وَمَا أَنَا عَلَيْكُمْ بِوَكِيلٍ. واتبع ما يوحى إليك. There was an enormous pressure on the Prophet to quit his job. They put enormous pressure on him. They threatened him. They tried to assassinate him. Just for him to quit and say, I'm tired, I'm going home. But he didn't do that. God said to him, follow. Follow what God is commanding you to do. Follow. واتبع ما يُوحَى إِلَيْكَ. وَاصْبِرْ, and be patient in this path. وَاصْبِرْ. The key for success is صبر, patience, the key. If you don't have patience, forget about success. No success without patience and endurance and forbearance and perseverance. وَاصْبِرْ حَتَّى يَحْكُمَ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ حَاكِمِينَ. Till God renders his judgment to those people, for he is the best of the judges. We conclude Surah Yunus, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And inshallah on Saturday, we will see you every night here. The program begins with Quranic circle. For some of you asked me how to read, how to learn to read the Quran. We have a Quranic circle by Brother Mushtaba here 1 hour before Maghrib. So if you want to learn the pronunciation of the Quran, come to the Quranic circle, then Adhan, then prayers, then Iftar, inshallah. And we want you to contribute to this Iftar because we are one family. The month of Ramadan is the month of togetherness and harmony and being one family. So we break bread together. And if we break bread together, we get closer to each other, but not too much close, please, you know. Keep some distance. And inshallah, we do the dua and about 20 minutes of reflection. And feel free, if any one of you has a story to share, any reflection, feel free to speak. But speak to the coordinator, Brother Samir Amiri and Ali Tahrani are the coordinators. Give your name to them so they can announce it, inshallah. Allahumma akhbar al-mu'mineen wal-mu'minat, wal-muslimin wal-muslimat, al-ahya'i minhum wal-amwat. تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك غافر الخطيئات إنك ماحي السيئات وجعلها حسنات. I have two requests. One is to recite Amman Yujib for our dear sister, Sister Fatma Saleh. Many of you know her, some of you do not know her. She was a big contributor into the making and the establishment of this institution 20 years ago. She used to do everything for this center, out of her heart. Now she's in a very critical condition. She's bedridden. She's in a very critical condition. She needs liver transplant. Probably tomorrow are going to transfer her to another state. So please, please raise your hand and with your heart, with your qalb, with your heart, with your intention, please urgently pray to Allah to save her life and bring her back safe and sound and healthy to her family and her community. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Amman yujibu al-muftarra idha da'a wa yakshifu as-su' amman yujibu al-muftarra idha da'a wa yakshifu as-su' أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء يا الله اللهم اكشف السوء عنها وارحمها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وألبسها ثوب الصحة والعافية. Today also we buried 3 hours ago an honorable member of our community, a lady who used to come to this mosque, Marhuma Hajia Fatma Abdi Abdizadeh. And I asked you, the mother of our sister, Sudaba Abdizadeh, so I ask you please to remember her in reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, Ma'as-salati ala Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad.